There is no board, no? We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 19, entitled The Island of Jambudvip, Text 29, 30, and we will also be doing 31. These are the last three shlokas of this chapter. Shri Sukha Vacha Jambudvipacha Rajana Upadvipan Astohati Upadishtita Sagrajamayar Ashwar Veshwana Imam Mahim Parato Nikabadir Upakala Pitam Yat Yadaha Sapurnastha Chandra Sukha Avartano Ramanoko Mandara nihi panchagnya sinhalo kalankiriti. Shri Sukhavacha, please repeat. Shri Sukhavacha, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada. Jai Prabhupada. Translation. Shri Sukhdev Goswami said, "My dear King, in the opinion of some learned scholars, eight smaller islands surround Jambudvip. When the sons of Maharaj Sagara were searching all over the world for their lost horse, they dug up the earth, and in this way, eight adjoining islands came into existence. The names of these islands are Swarnapartha, Chandra Shukla, Avartana, Ramanaka, Mandara Harasina, Panchajagya, Sinhala, and Lanka." Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In the Kurma Puran, there is this statement about the desires of the demigods. Anadhikero na deha, Anadhikero na devaha, Swargastha Bharato Bhadvam, Vanchati Atma Vimukta Sartha, Mudre Karte Adhikaraninaha. Although the demigods are situated in exalted positions in the heavenly planets, they nevertheless desire to descend to the land of Bharatvarsh on this planet Earth. This indicates that even the demigods are unfit to reside in Bharatvarsh. Therefore, if persons already born in Bharatvarsh live like cats and dogs, not taking full advantage of their birth in this land, they are certainly unfortunate. Text 31. Evam tava Bharatatmo Jandudvip Varsaha Vibhagayo Yathapadeshan Upavartinite Itihi. Translation. My dear King Parikshit, O best of the descendants of Bharat Maharaj, I have thus described to you, as I myself have been instructed, the island of Bharatvarsh and its adjoining islands. These are the islands that constitute Jambudvip. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the fifth canto, 19th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled A Description of the Island of Jambudvip. Om Agnivad ki jai. So, this chapter entitled The Island of Jambudvip, Sri Sukhdev Goswami says that in the opinion of some learned scholars, eight smaller islands surround Jambudvip, means there are nine totally. When the sons of Maharaj Sagara were searching all over the world for the lost horse, they dug up the earth, and in this way, 8 adjoining islands came into existence. In this world also, we are fortunate because it is stated here in the Bhagavatam, and there is a wonderful purport by Prabhupada himself, that those who are born in the land of Bharatvarsh are indeed very, very fortunate. That is all of us. And if persons already born, which we are already born in Bharatvarsh, live like cats and dogs, not taking full advantage of their birth, because your birth has taken place, all you have to do is to take advantage of that birth. And if you don't do that, in this land, they are certainly unfortunate. That's a fact. Because this earth, known as the whole world, is Mrityulok. We are all going to die. Every creature on this earth, whether it's moving or non-moving, like trees are non-moving, human beings, right from the Indragop, the smallest insect, to the largest beings. Everyone has a birth. Everyone then grows from a child to a young stage, has a steady state, gets married sometimes, has procreation, and then dwindles and then dies. That is there stated in the Bhagavad Gita by Lord Krishna. So this process is eternal. It's going to go on. So one should not worry about that process, because it is destined, it is going to happen, whether we like it or not. However, we have to use our intelligence to take the best advantage of the assets which are offered to us. If we don't take advantage of the asset of being born on this earth, that's all. We got born. That's our great fortune that we are born in India, Bharatvarsh. And if we don't take advantage of this Bhakti Bhumi, then Prabhupada says they are certainly unfortunate. Means the fortune has been lost. God has given us a fortune of being born on this earth. People don't realize that that itself is a fortune. People think that what is on the bank balance is a fortune. But that is not going to help you at the time of your death. But that bank balance will remain at a different location, and you'll be going to a different location, being carried on the shoulders of people, Ram Bolo Bhai Ram, and then you are up in smoke. So along with that, the Jivatma also leaves. So what is the use if such fortune which is lying in the bank account is of no use to us at the time of our final departure from this earth? The final departure from this earth is only possible to be made fortunate if we take advantage. Prabhupada says, take advantage. It's offered to you free of charge. You did not have to pay any fee when you were born. Somebody else paid for it, maybe your father or mother. But the fact of the matter is, you were born free of charge. You grew up also more or less without paying any money, free of charge, as a child. And later on you went to education. Many of us have not paid a penny. And we learned whatever we had to learn, free of charge. So up to the stage of our more or less getting married or getting into business or some sort of service, government or otherwise, it has been free. And we don't take advantage of it. So the question is, the big question is, okay, I want to now take advantage of it. You are telling me, take advantage. Prabhupada is saying, take full advantage. Use the word full, not partial advantage. Not taking full advantage of their birth. That's all. Take full advantage of your birth. The question then arises, how? What is the technology? What's the know-how? How do we take full advantage of our having taken birth in Bharatvarsh? For that purpose only, Lord Chaitanya appeared. Because Lord Krishna has stated clearly, 18.66 in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharma Parityagam, Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja, Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshasyami ma shuchah. Sure. That is a statement of fact. That Lord Krishna says, just surrender unto me and I will remove all your past sinful activities and you are certainly going to go home back to Godhead. Fine. But what is the process of surrendering? That was not made clear by Lord Krishna. He thought that he was speaking to Arjun, after all, and Arjun was a very, very, very intelligent person, one of the most intelligent persons living at that time. So it was obvious, just like if you are going to a PhD class and teaching PhD students mathematics, you are not going to teach 2 times 2 is equal to 4. I mean, that's taken for granted, isn't it? But however, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the same Lord Krishna, in the mood of Radharani, Lord Krishna himself personally thought that now is the time in Kali Yuga, the Jivatmas who are the residue, those who could not finish their going home to back to Godhead in Satyug or Treta Yuga or Dwapar Yuga, at the bottom of the pile, the residue, the scum of the earth, they are all these Jivatmas. Who are we? Let's face it, we are the last residue. There's no lower group than us. They are the last lot. Now these creatures, these Jivatmas, don't know even fundamentals, how to surrender. So let me go again now. And it is therefore that Lord Chaitanya appeared. It's Lord Krishna himself, but he himself appeared to teach the basics of how to surrender. He soon realized, Lord Chaitanya, when he appeared, he soon realized that his own students were so dumb, they could not understand what he was teaching them. His own students, whom he had taught for years, did not understand basic grammar also, which he had converted to each part related to Krishna. And in fact, they went and complained. They protested. So he realized that these are even bigger fools than I thought. That my own students don't understand after my racking my brain, spending so many years with them, and yet they are dumb as a doorbell. So what should I do now? So he himself said, let me surrender myself first and teach by actual, that is what an acharya is all about. He says, let me myself surrender to Lord Krishna. Though he is Lord Krishna, but he is teaching the way. And he therefore gave up his wonderful household life. He had a beautiful wife, very, very subservient. She was always a wonderful companion. Gave up his most wonderful mother and other colleagues and took sannyas. Thereafter, what he did by his infinite divine mercy, he is known as Udar Purushottam. Everyone knows that. Udar means he is most munificent. He gives free of charge everything. Whereas Krishna demanded something. Krishna demanded you surrender first, then I give you liberation. See? Whereas Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has not demanded any fees, not anything, no preconditions, no terms and conditions. It's just straightforward, take it or leave it. And he is actually begging us not to leave it. Just take. Now what do we take? All we have to do is to go to a certain place. That's all. So I would like to read out from Appreciating Navadvip Dham by Mahanidhi Swami. This is the secret of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's basics. Because fundamentals are the most important. It's better to repeat the basics and fundamentals over and over and over again so that it gets drilled into our dumb heads. The secret of pure devotional service. Who says? None other than Bhakti Vinod Thakur, one of the greatest acharyas we had. He says that the secret means something which is not so well known and is not to be so easily disclosed. But he is disclosing it for our benefit. The secret of pure devotional service rests in those who take shelter of Lord Chaitanya's holy place, holy dham, where my Lord Hari, his transcendental form, filled with the nectar of splendid divine love, assumes the role of Sri Radha. Wandering in Navadip Dham is the best of all opulences. We have an heritage. We have inherited something from Lord Chaitanya. And therefore it is called heritage. And we have therefore inherited. Inherited means coming in. The heritage is coming in. Free of charge again. We have not paid for this heritage. Is simply to wander. I mean, we all know what is wandering. We've been wandering around this earth so many times. In this city of Bombay. We've been going to all sorts of places. But if you just change that location from wandering on in Bombay or some of its places to wandering in the holy dham of Navadip Dham, the best of all religious principles. Now, this is really something. There are many, many religious principles stated in the Shastras. But he says that in Kali Yuga, because we are the lowest of the low, simply by wandering in the holy dham, we are achieving the highest of all religious principles. By doing what? Nothing. By wandering. Walking. Pada Sevanam. It is called Pada Sevanam. Pada means legs. And we are doing Seva of Lord Chaitanya's holy dham. I mean, it couldn't be easier than that. And yet people are not prepared for it. Can you imagine? Wandering in Navadip's holy dham is the best of all opulences. The best of all religious principles. The best of all kinds of worship. I mean, I just can't believe that anybody cannot just simply walk. Even if he's got one leg, he can walk. He can just wander in the holy dham, which becomes three things. The best of opulence, the best of all religious principles, and the best of all kinds of worship. There's one more fourth. The best of all perfection. You become perfected by walking simply on the holy dham, according to one of our greatest acharyas. And what happens to all this? You get the best of all glories. Chalo bhai, if somebody is going to glorify us simply by our walking in the holy dhams, and what is the taste we get? Ras. The best of all oceans of sweetness and nectar. Simply by walking. The result. You get a taste for the nectarian juice of sweetness. Now let us go a little deeper into this ocean of sweetness, which is known as Navadip Dham. 1-to-1 ratio compared to this Bhagavatam, because by my training, I happen to be an engineer and an applied mathematician. I always see all sorts of mathematics in everything. So 1-to-1 ratio, we'll see. Here is Bhagavatam and here is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's divine appearance and his creation. What he did was, he also got his appearance in a place called Antardvip. Represents surrendering everything. That is Atma Nivedanam. So Antaradvip, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's yoga peet, where he appeared, is a center point. Like if you have a center of gravity of something, then the center point of surrendering everything, Atma Nivedanam, is the place called yoga peet. So if you go to yoga peet and just do parikrama of yoga peet, you are doing Atmanivedanam. What the great authorities in the past in Srimad Bhagavatam, we know about Bali Maharaj. What a great performance he had to do, poor guy. He, after even surrendering everything, still he had to suffer certain consequences. We all know that. He was tied up. like an ordinary jailbird. He was made to surrender more. Krishna said at that time, Vamandev appearance, you've given me promise for 3 steps and you only delivered 2. Now come on, where are you going to give me my 3rd step? There was a demand. Shokas notice in the language of today's government. Where is that 3rd step I am going to put? Show me. Otherwise, show cause why I should not take action against you. Actually, those were the words. And he said, you can kindly put your lotus feet on my head because there is mud in my head. So, I mean, that's a fact. Our body is made of this pancha mahabhuta. So, one of the mahabhuta is the earth element. Not that physically he had nothing but mud in his head. We are the ones who have got mud in our head. So it is in our interest to realize that in the past it was so difficult to do Atma Nivedanam. Very difficult. There were so many, take the example of Prahlad Maharaj. He had to go through immense amount of trouble. Immense amount of trouble. I once had the occasion to talk to Bhagatji, great devotee, godbrother of Prabhupada in Vrindavan. After Prabhupada's disappearance, I still had some, I was always the doubting Thomas type of character. So, I went all the way to Vrindavan and Yadubara Prabhu, you remember Bhagatji? He used to live next door. You know well? Acha. I went to him because I thought at least he could clear one doubt of mine. My doubt was that Narasimha Bhagwan, Lord Krishna, is so kind and yet so much difficulty gave to a poor little 5-year-old child. Throwing in the pit of snakes, throwing from the top of the mountain. Holika, his own aunt, nearly tried to burn him to death. So many things. Atrocious activities. In today's terms, he would be hauled up, you know, for child abuse. So, all these things are done. I mean, it's ridiculous that a 5-year-old child had to undergo so much difficulties just for the simple thing, Atma Nivedanam. So, why did God do that? He shouldn't have done that. That was my point to Bhagatji. This is one of the few residual things I had forgotten to ask Prabhupada personally. So, Bhagatji replied to me, I mean, he was a very senior devotee, about the same age as Prabhupada. Maybe he was a little junior, right? Little junior, yeah. So, he said, you see, the most important thing is the Lord wants to glorify His devotees. The Lord wants to glorify His devotees. And if you read carefully the whole Bhagavatam, there are, what is it, Bhagavatam has 24,000 slokas. Anybody remember? Huh? 18,000. Ramayana has 24. Ramayana has 24, okay. So Bhagavatam has 18,000 slokas. So I knew there was some figure 24, but I didn't know which one. So 18,000 slokas. Out of those 18,000 slokas, maximum number names and slokas come of Krishna, obviously, because Bhagavatam is Krishna and none other. The second number comes of Prahlad Maharaj. He is glorified so much. And he wouldn't have been glorified, he wouldn't have been recognized even, if he had not gone through all that pain and difficulty. It's very often said, no pain, no gain. So, but in this Kali Yuga, we are having no pain, all gain. I mean, we couldn't have a better deal. You see? It's so simple. Lord Chaitanya has made it so simple because for us, even to get up and walk and wander, he says, these creatures are considering that as pain. Just to go to my holy dham. So, let me complete this because we don't have too much time. So, out of the 9 processes of bhakti, the highest I'm giving you straight away is Antardvip Parikrama. And There, Lord Chaitanya personally appeared. Why is it called Antardvip? It is the middle of the nine islands, which is in the center of the nine islands. The next most important is Simantadvip. That represents Shravanam, hearing. The nine processes are the nine islands today existing right now in Mayapur, Vrindavan Dham. It is actually Vrindavan. I will explain to you the relationship one to one. So, what happened was, in Satyug once, Lord Shiva, in fact it is his appearance day today, so it is so wonderful that it starts with Lord Shiva only. So in Satyug, Lord Shiva was ecstatically shouting, Gauranga, 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 Gaurangas, all of you, Gauranga, Lord Shiva's day. He's shouting, so why can't we shout? I mean, we're following Lord Shiva today. So he was shouting, Gauranga, Gauranga. And Parvati, his wonderful wife, didn't understand what is happening to my husband, you know. As it is, most wives don't understand what's happening to the husband. But anyway, there's one more case. So Parvati is saying that, why are you chanting this name? What is his name? Gauranga, Gauranga? First time she heard it, obviously. So Lord Shiva advises his wife, you also chant Gauranga, Gauranga. So Parvati took that seriously. She was, after all, a very wonderful lady, wife. She took the words of Lord Shiva to heart. And she said, whether I understand or not understand, since my good husband is telling me, let me chant the holy name of Lord Gauranga. And what Parvati took Gauranga's foot dust, because what happened was Lord Shiva noticed that there was a footprint at this Simadip of Lord Gauranga. And when he saw the footprint of Lord Gauranga, he got all excited. You know, Lord Shiva has that mood, getting terribly excited. And then he has a damru and he starts dancing. If he dances too much, that's a destruction. But at least he stopped dancing that time. And he started jumping up and down, because he saw the footprint of Lord Gauranga. So that is Shravanam. Who heard? Parvati heard. Parvati heard Lord Shiva telling her that chant the holy name of Lord Gauranga. And she saw also that footprint of Lord Gauranga there. She took the dust of that footprint and she put it in the middle of, you know how the ladies put that kumkum and all, the middle parting of the hair. So that is why that island is known as Simantadvip. Because, as you know, in Sanskrit the word Simanta means Srimanta. The lady has now become a wife. So she puts this red kumkum in the middle. So she took the charan, the footprint dust of Lord Chaitanya on her forehead. And therefore, because she heard attentively and followed the instructions, it is called Simantadvip represents Shravan. The first one, once again, because we forget very quickly, Antaradvip is Atmanivedanam, surrendering everything. Then Simantadvip is Shravanam, correct? Now we come to Godramdrudvip, that represents Kirtanam. This age is of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the correct procedure for realizing pure love of Godhead, we are coming to that, is by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as you all remember, had a beautiful house there. So here we are. Narad Muni, he is one of our greatest acharyas. He says, one who chants Gaura's name, even once, will get the mercy of Krishna. Means to receive Krishna's mercy, you only have to chant Lord Gauranga's name. Krishna does not say that you will receive my mercy by chanting my name. It's interesting. It's like in chemistry, we have a process. We have got professors here, Dean of the Department of Bombay University. I'm trying to say, sitting here. But anyway, the thing I'm telling you is that certain chemicals themselves don't react. They act as catalysts. But they provide you the result. So here the Lord's holy name, Gauranga's holy name, is a catalyst. It will give you the end result of Krishna Prem. That is stated by none other than Narad Muni. Why? We are not idiots. We are not fools to chant the holy name of Gauranga. Lord Shiva is not a fool to chant the holy name of Lord Gauranga. Parvati is not a fool to chant the holy name of Lord Gauranga. We just have to follow. That's all. If you follow Lord Shiva, fine. Follow Lord Shiva. Follow Parvati. But chant the holy name of Gauranga. Because you are going to get Krishna Prem. That is the result you are going to get. It's so simple. It's stated here by none other than the greatest of all authorities, Narad Muni. Narad Muni was the Acharya Guru of Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruv Maharaj, so many devotees. So he says that even once if you chant the holy name of Lord Gauranga, you will get mercy of Krishna and will be able to live in Vrindavan, in Golok Vrindavan. I mean, it's inconceivable mercy, chanting the holy name of Lord Chaitanya. You get the mercy of Krishna, which is a ticket to go to Golok Vrindavan. Sidhi baat ho gayi. What more we want? What more we want? So, how the name Godrum Dweep came? Because you all remember, there is some painting here, I guess, of Indra doing all that showering of huge amount of rain and all that. And then we have this Govardhan Leela. So Lord Krishna lifts the whole Govardhan Parvat and everybody is protected. But the beauty of it, only Radhanath Maharaj explained to me. Many of you may or may not know this. My question to Radhanath Maharaj was, where did all that water go? Because as an engineer, I always work out cubic meters of water. Where did all that huge quantities of rain go? Where was the drainage system to remove all that? Kya ho gaya uska? So, Radhanath Maharaj told me from the Shastras that Lord Krishna requested Chakra, you know, Sudarshan Chakra. Su and Darshan. Darshan you all know. Darshan, we are having Darshan of Krishna. The adjective Su in Sanskrit means supreme. That is how this, the same thing, the most, best. That is how when you put Su in front of something, that means it's a supreme darshan. So Sudarshan, the chakra, is a supreme darshan for the devotees and the supreme death for the non-devotees. So this Sudarshan was called by Lord Krishna. And Sudarshan actually went round and round at the base of the mountain, Govardhan, and traveling so fast at such speeds that whatever water was falling was evaporating immediately. And not a drop touched the floor, the ground. That is the secret of this Govardhan Leela. That Krishna could do that. We can't do that. We can't even lift a small stone. Forget about a mountain. And this Sudarshan also was there. So what happened after all this was over, you all remember, Indra was very smart. I mean, you know, Indra is... made a mistake, theek hai, ho gaya. But he was smart, he realized that if I send Surabhi, the mother of all cows, to Krishna and she pleads on my behalf, you see, then Krishna is surely going to forgive me for this atrocity I have created and this damage, environmental pollution or damage he did with the heavy rains. So, here is the case where Go is pertaining to Surabhi and Dhruma is pertaining to the tree. Now, how is this related? After Krishna Leela, Indra and the Surabhi cow came here to this island and worshipped Nimai. Can you imagine? Indra and Surabhi both came to Rudram Dweep and worshipped Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And crying, they soon got darshan of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. This is long back. It's not that Gauranga Mahaprabhu suddenly appeared and was created like us, born in some hospital or something. In my case, 66 years ago or somebody 30, 40 years ago. No. Gauranga Mahaprabhu is always there, eternally. So he appeared. Indra left. Indra, you know, he's businesslike. Miraj, kaam ho gaya? Chalo, goodbye. Took the benefit and left. But Surabhi stayed behind under a banyan tree, that is Dhruma, worshipping Lord Gauranga. She continued to worship. And therefore, that is known as Go, referring to Surabhi, and Dhruma, referring to the banyan tree. That is why it is called this island. And it represents what? Kirtanam. Because that is where the first time chanting of the holy name of the Lord by the cow, Surabhi, was done. That is very important. She herself continued to chant the holy name of the Lord Gauranga. Then we proceed further. There are lots of details are there, but we don't have enough time. If I had about 4 or 5 hours, I would complete this whole chapter thoroughly. But I am giving you the highlights, trusting and hoping that you would buy this book. Not that I am an agent for this book, but please buy this book and go in thorough detail. Because if you go into a thorough detail and study of this book, with all its markings and all you can do, you are surely going to benefit, because it's the ticket. It's the ticket of going home back to Godhead. As simple as that. That's what you are getting. The next island out of this one-to-one relation, correlation, is called Madhya Dweep. Represents Smaranam, represents remembering. What had happened was that at noon, every noon, Gauranga Mahaprabhu and the Pancha Tattva used to go there, to this island. And there, they would perform their afternoon pastimes and remembering of Lord Krishna, and then taking rest there. The next is Koladweep, represents serving Krishna's lotus feet. That is Pada Sevanam. And how did the name come? In Satyuga, Brahmana worship Vara here with a desire to have his darshan. In Satyuga, one Brahmana was living in that location, worshipped Vara Bhagavan to have his darshan of Vara. And so intensely he prayed to his Ishtadev that Lord Vara appeared as a most attractive boar with a body as tall as a mountain. Vara spoke to the mountain, "I previously killed Hiranyaksha here with my tusks." So it's a very wonderful place. If you ask where was Hiranyaksha killed, right there, by none other than Vara. Lord Vara killed Hiranyaksha at this place called Koladweep. Now, how did the word come? Because the Sanskrit word Kola refers to the boar. Boar means, we don't use the word pig. Pig is a derogatory term. It's a perverted reflection of boar. Okay? So, what is the lowest in this world is the highest in the spiritual world. So if the pig is the lowest in this world, the highest in the spiritual world is Vara. You must know that. So that is how the name Koladweep came, because Lord Vara himself killed Hiranyaksha on that spot. Thousands of lakhs of years ago. There is much more in great detail. This place is non-different than Khandiravan of Vraj. Each of them also have a correlationship with one of the ones of Vrindavan. So by going to this place, you are already covering Vrindavan. You follow? You don't have to separately go to Vrindavan and this, both the places. The next one is Rutudvip. That represents Archana Bhakti, worshipping Krishna by Aarti and paraphernalia. Rutu means spring. And as Radha Madhav spent their afternoons in Vraj's Radha Kunda, relishing the pleasures of the spring. Spring has two English meanings. One is water spring coming from below the earth. The other is the climate spring. So, remembering Krishna's pastimes as cowherd, sometimes Gauranga would loudly call again and again the names of the cows. Here is the evidence. Mahaprabhu is not here. But there's in India we have called law of evidence. Everything in the court has to have evidence. Otherwise, it is bogus. So the evidence is that nobody would know all the lakhs of names of Krishna's cows except Krishna himself. It's obvious. If something belongs to me, I would know the name of that thing. Isn't it? Here, Lord Gauranga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started loudly calling out, Shyamali, Dhabali. He started calling out names of those cows, which he had relations one-to-one with them in Vrindavan. He was remembering these cows. And therefore, because of this relationship and this wonderful climate, it is called Rutudvip. And this Rutudvip, I'll just read out a very interesting thing. Vidyanagar, at the time of Pralaya means, you know, when the end of the earth, Pralaya, Matsya carried all the Vedas here. So in this island, Lord Matsya came personally carrying the Vedas. Vedas means knowledge actually in Sanskrit. So if you concentrate in that place and apply your mind all the time there, you will automatically come to know the Vedas there. Because the Vedas resided there. Brahaspati, the great teacher of the demigods, left his post as guru of the demigods and appeared in Gaura Leela as Vasudev Sarvabhauma. We just went through this glorification of Lord Chaitanya. That was written by Sarvabhauma. And he taught at a school, Vidyanagar, and left for Jagannath Puri to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So that's why this island is, again, very important. All I'm saying is that whatever is stated in the Bhagavatam is even valid today by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and easily accessible to us by simply going there. That's all we have to do. And we have to wander there. We have to just do parikrama and chant the holy name of the Lord. Very simple process. The eighth is Modadrum Vip, representing Dasyam. Represents Krishna's becoming Krishna's servant. This has to do also at the time of Ayodhya. Lord Ramchandraji, Sita and Lakshman came at this place when they were going around. You all know about Bhrigumuni's wife. She had helped the Asuras. And because she helped Asuras, Vishnu killed this lady, Bhrigumuni's wife. And Bhrigumuni was furious, very angry at Lord Vishnu and cursed him. And Vishnu accepted the curse also. He said, go and live in the Mrityulok, where the men are there, human beings. He tells Vishnu. And therefore he took the form of Lord Ram. And get separated from your wife also, just as you have separated me from my wife. So poor Vishnu had to take the form of Ram. And he had to get this awful experience of having separation of his wife. Because Lord himself says that I have to accept my laws. whatever laws I make, if I don't implement them, nobody's going to implement them. I cannot be, this is Lord Vishnu, we are not talking about Krishna. Krishna is above the law. But Vishnu took the form of Lord Ram. And he came here, at this place. Therefore, that is also a wonderful holy dam. And the ninth and the last one is Rudradweep. This is the epitome, because today happens to be Shivratri. Represents Sakhyam. Here what had happened was that Panchamukha Shiva himself had come here. And so had Durvasa, Ashtavakra and Dattatraya. In Maharashtra, everywhere you will find people worshipping Dattatraya. They all had come and paid obeisances to Lord Gauranga at this place. So this is a very, very important place. Bhakti Vinod Thakur describes a mystical appearance he had. It's a very interesting thing. This is only once it is stated by Bhakti Vinod Thakur that he went into meditation, and in this meditation, samadhi, he had a mystical experience, and he came to Rudradweep and did parikrama. Bhakti Vinod Thakur sat next to the Shiva Linga to meditate on Gauranga's lotus feet. And Sayujya, the personified goddess of impersonal liberation, you all know that Sayujya, there are five liberations you can get. The lowest of the lot is Sayujya, means merging into Brahma Jyoti. So the lady herself, Sayujya, personally came and offered her obeisances to Bhakti Vinod Thakur and offered, I can give you Sayujya Mukti. And he said, nahi, mere ko nahi chahiye. I don't want. Because he was a devotee. The question is, do you want to become sugar or you want to taste sugar? That's the question. If you become sugar, then you can't taste sugar. So you might as well be separate from sugar so you can taste the nectar. So we don't want Sayujya. Okay? Now these are the nine islands. Actually speaking, as I said, there are pages and pages, but we normally stop here at about 9:30. So these nine dweeps are existing right now in Mayapur Dham. You just have to go there. You just have to wander around, just parikrama, preferably in association of devotees. In fact, ISKCON Mayapur Dham has a great devotee who, he and his wife are so nice that if you just ask them, please take us around, they'll take you around. So you don't even have to spend any money. You don't have to get lost. Usually people say get lost, but here you can't get lost, because there's somebody who can personally take you around, serve you fully. All the services are available free of charge, and just we have to physically go there. And what is the benefit we get? The four benefits. We get the benefit of going home back to Godhead, associating with devotees forever. We get the benefit of always remembering Krishna. And in the process, we get glorified. What more can we expect? So this is the great glorification of this shloka. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments, please? Yes. Have you got the mic?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Prabhu, you mentioned Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur talking about how one can perfect his life. And you spoke about, you know, the three perfections. And then you also said that one of the goals is residing in Sri Vrindavan Dham. And that's what Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur did. But during his end of his life, he went back to Sri Mayapur Dham. So he left the goal, even though they are non-different, but he went back to Sri Mayapur Dham. So my question to you is, what was he trying to teach us by doing this at the
wonderful
end of his
question.
Life?
Wonderful question. I forgot to tell you this, and now that you ask this question, I'm reminded that I was supposed to tell you this. The highest goal in this earth, while the Jivatma is on this earth, is to acquire Krishna Prem. According to all the acharyas, not only of our sampradaya, but other acharyas also, of other sampradayas, the highest goal that we, Jivatmas, can get is not becoming a billionaire. Because as I told you, that money will remain in some safe and somebody will take it away. It's not that we get so much worldly knowledge, but we get Krishna Prem, that is a dhana, Krishna Prema dhana. Okay? And according to all the acharyas, including Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you get Krishna Prema in this dham, Mayapur dham, not in Vrindavan dham, that quickly. Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, has made Krishna Prem accessible to us. You know, like in a computer, you just press, just like that, and it becomes accessible to you. Whatever it is, Google search or whatever it is. And you get it, and then they say in 3 seconds. So you just press that button of going to Mayapur Dham, and you get Krishna Prem, that you get access to Krishna Prem. In Vrindavan Dham, you have to follow the procedure of Vrindavan to get Krishna Prem. You'll get Krishna Prem, but it takes longer. So here, it is advisable that you never know, padam padam vipadam, anytime you can die. So you can get that benefit of Krishna Prem by going to Mayapur Dham. Okay? That's why Prabhupada said what? Bombay is my office, correct? That makes sense. Vrindavan is my home and Mayapur is my place of worship. So we have to do our place of worship there. Everything Prabhupada said has a lot of depth and meaning. Any other questions or comments? Mataji, over there at the back. Thank you and your family for the wonderful evening we had yesterday.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, I don't know whether the question I'm asking is relevant, but when Radhanath Maharaj had taken us to Mayapur, he took us to a temple where Parvati is eternally residing as Proud Maya. And she's been given the task of revealing the dham to devotees and to keep it hidden from people who do not have faith. So my question is, you said that just by visiting Navadvip and...
Wandering
in Navadvip, you get so much benefit, and going to Antardvip, it's like when you do parikrama...
Atma Nivedanam.
So there may be people who do not have faith, but they've heard a lot about Navadvip. And they go there and maybe they are wandering and maybe they are visiting all these places. But do they also get the same benefit that a devotee would get?
Yeah, the question is, it's a fairly long question, but in short, it is that would the person who has faith as a devotee get the same benefit as a person who has no knowledge of faith and still does the same physical activity of wandering through these places? Is that the question? Have I understood you right?
Yes, Prabhuji. And also, if Proud Maya is keeping the dham hidden from those who do not have faith, I mean, how is it revealed to them? That's what my question.
Right. Actually speaking, this if you go there, you'll notice that a lot of people in Bengal are following Mataji. You know, in fact, the name Kolkata, they're the same, that there is a temple there of Kali Mataji. But that is Parvati's mood when she is killing demons. Okay. So when Parvati is killing demons, she takes that form of Kali Mataji. So hence the name Kolkata. So what she is doing is basically attracting people away from demon or demoniac activities, or killing the demoniac propensities. Because demons reside in the mind. That's the main point. Demons are here. So, in fact, in the old days, they used to take so-called quote-unquote mad people and put them in some thane in Bombay or something. And then they would try to remove these demons or whatever, madness. But it's a chemical, some people say it is a chemical imbalance in the mind. Some people say it's something else. Whatever it is, the point is that it is accessible, it's available. Even Parvati, as I told you earlier, she herself had no knowledge. She was given the knowledge by Lord Shiva. And she physically saw the footprint of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu there. She took the dust of it and put it in the partition of her head. So, she is just saying that this is what I have done and I have benefited. You take the benefit also. Just like, supposing you have benefited from some knowledge. This is, Bombay is the capital of, financial capital of India. Okay. And there is a share market. Now we've got one stockbroker, I don't know whether he's come today. One of my god brothers. He sometimes phones me. Yeah, aa share leva jevu chhe. Buy this share. This is a knowledge, available, access. Now, whether I do it or not, it's my responsibility and my fortune or misfortune. So that's why it's available. That person can slowly, slowly become a devotee by doing this parikrama, by remembering and chanting the holy name of the Lord. Because by associating with the devotees, you become a devotee. The famous example is given by Prabhupada that originally iron, iron is black colored, and like this color, black, is hard and it is cold, isn't it? Iron rod is hard, black and cold. But if it's put into fire, what happens over a period of time? That black becomes white and hard becomes soft. And obviously that cold iron becomes very, very hot. So by associating with the devotees, the iron-like person, rod, and the devotees like fire, getting in, the non-devotee becomes a devotee. That is the answer to that question. Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Yes, please. Oh, Haribol Prabhuji. When did you come from Malaysia? You are here only? That's very good.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
You are saying that Pada Sevanam.
Pada Sevanam.
We all have an understanding. Oh, I have an understanding. Pada Sevanam is worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord.
Yes.
But you also said that.
Parikrama.
Pada is doing seva.
Huh?
Pada Sevanam, like walking around, the leg walking around.
Yes, that. Yes. It is well known. Because we accept Govardhan and some of these holy dhams as none other than Krishna. So we, by just simply wandering, that is what the acharyas say. I'm not saying. I'm not competent to say. I'm just repeating what the acharyas say. Simply by walking, using our feet, by parikrama of Govardhan or parikrama of any of these Antardvip dham or these dhams, is for these jivatmas of this earth, that is Pada Sevanam. Because where you will get Krishna otherwise? You see, very few of us can go in the DT room and start massaging Krishna's feet. That is Pada Sevanam, no doubt, definitely. But we are not qualified, some of us. So everyone is qualified to walk, to do the Govardhan parikrama or do Antardvip parikrama.
I just wanted to.
And even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even Prabhupada at the end, do you know? In his last Leela, wanted to do parikrama of Govardhan. You remember that? He told Loknath Maharaj, I want to do. But he was not physically fit to do. But that is a very important thing, Pada Sevanam. Any other questions or comments? Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai ho.